72. Email is here to stay. Is email a blessing or a curse? Last month, after a week's vacation, I discovered 1,218 unread email messages waiting in my inbox. I pretended to be dismayed, but secretly I was pleased. This was how we measure our wired worth in the late 1990s. If you aren't overwhelmed by email, you must be doing something wrong. Never mind that after subtracting the stale office chit-chat and dumb jokes forwarded by my friends who should know better, there were 7 messages actually worth reading. I was doomed to spend half my workday just deleting junk. Email. Can't live with it, can't live without it. Artists, advertisers, and freedom fighters, lovers and sworn enemies, they've all turned to email as they would to any new medium of expression. Email is convenient, saves time, brings us closer to one another, helps us manage our ever more complex lives. Books are written, campaigns conducted, crimes committed, all via email. But it is also inconvenient, wastes our time, isolates us in front of our computers, and introduces more complexity into our lives. To some, email is just the latest chapter in the evolving history of human communication. Yet email, and all online communication, is something different. It captures the essence of life at the close of the 20th century, with an authority that few other products of digital technology can claim. Email simultaneously allows us to cope with that acceleration and contributes to it. Are our attention spans shortening under attacks of new, improved forms of stimulation? If we accept that the creation of the global spanning Internet is one of the most important technological innovations over past 500 years, then we must give email the living embodiment of human connection across the net. The way we interact with people is changing. Email is both the catalyst and the instrument of that change. It may even help us find those whom we want love in the first place. Email encourages the shy. It offers a semi-risk environment to start romance. Because it lacks the immediate threat of physical rejection, people who are shy or had painful romantic failures in the past can use the net as a way to build a relationship in the early romantic stages. But it's not just about love. Email also flattens hierarchies in the bounds of an office. It's far easier to make a suggestion to your superiors and colleagues via email than it is to do so in a pressure-filled meeting room. Any time when we have something that is difficult to say, email can make it easier. It serves as a buffer zone. Email, ultimately, is a fragile thing, easy to forge, easy to destroy. A few weeks ago, a coworker of mine accidentally and irretrievably wiped out 1,500 of his own saved messages. For a person who conducts the bulk of his life online, such a digital tragedy is like erasing part of your own memory. Meanwhile, now that we are all connected across time zones and corporate firewalls, we are beginning to lose sight of the difference between what is work and what is play. 6 years after I logged onto CompuServe for the first time, I went to Alice Springs, a frontier town in Australia, for a holiday. Instead of wandering through the desert and seeking camels, I found myself checking my mail to see if the Wired magazine had fresh inquiries for me about a story I had submitted. I was on the job, in large part because I had an email address and had made the devil's bargain with the Wired world. As I listened for the sound of the modem connecting in Alice Springs, I felt I had lost control over some valuable part of my life. Your boss will refrain from calling you at 11:30 p.m., but not from sending an inquiring, must-be-answered-as-soon-as-you-log-on email. Email doesn't just collapse distance, it demolishes all boundaries. And that can be, depending on the moment, either a blessing or a curse.